You don't turn love and own like a lot. It's difficult. It's impossible to turn off to love. You don't turn it on and off like a switch on the wall. Like a light, it comes on, it goes off. The Bible declares that if the love that you cannot quench. Also find in Genesis number 67 that the love which a relationship should have is a love which brings comfort and which brings cushioning from the many moments and the many, many pressures of life. And the Bible says it like this, that Isaac loved Rebecca, comforted after his mother. There was a relationship of love between him and Rebecca that cushioned him in the moment of chivalry and the difficult times of life. Every husband and wife ought to understand what I'm talking about. True love that should be known in marriage. That helps to sweeten the bitter waters of life.
Amen.
Rebecca was a young woman that had love. I don't think it was a male or love experience. I'd have been something like that. I don't know, because you've never seen her before. But she was called Isaac. It's on the other end of the line. And if you'll come with me, I'll come with your name. Is looking for you as his wife. Was not like some of the flighty experiences of matrimony in our society. She didn't say, I've got to have or I won't marry you. She fell so heavily in love that you said to her mother and father, I'm going to leave your mom, I'm going to leave your dad, I'm going to leave my home. Everything that I've known all of my life, a rough camel, as far as it's lonely, I'll ride that camel all the way with the man that I love. Help to cushion you against many of the bitter moments of your life. You say, Brother Brad, tell us something. You're not happy. There's too many marriages that are going on the rock. So we need a thorough understanding of what is going on. I appreciated at a wedding a few months ago. I've never seen two people who seem to be more in love. With the groom, we walked out to the side room. We saw the rest of the march in, and all of a sudden the organ says, here comes the bride. All of a sudden every eye is turned towards the rear of the building, and there steps out a young lady. Oh, so beautiful she was. And she started marching down the road. With people, but she didn't seem to know another person on God's earth but a man that was born with God. I felt a little bit sad, and she didn't know it. And she was born with God. And so she bent her eyes upon this man. Her eyes were constantly glued upon each other. They turned inward. I began to say, I have something that I do it for every time. Just before the final vows are said, I can kneel in my presence and his father. We pray together. I started praying. I guess you're glad maybe you wasn't there, because a little normal prayer. I'm just about ready to. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit beams upon my heart. down here, if ever I felt a burden, pray, I felt God, help this love affair together unto whatever is in their future. Let them part of it. Let it an experience that will take them in again. Help it to be a love that's in them together. Never to be. I knew that I had to quit praying, so I cut it off. Just for a moment, so you would have to dry it up and pull myself until I don't. The audience, I looked up with a great big smile on my face, as they wanted to be pronounced, they embraced. I looked back and I was looking up, and the bride looked at me. I appreciate you, God. I looked at and welcomed out my eyes. And she looked up with a little smile on her face, and she said, "Brother Scott," I said, I like the prayer, but you said you have to be with these heels. And I've got on, I was kneeling in a box. And she said, "I'll be praying. I thought I was going to break my heels before you could pray, in spite of everything." I could not understand this, even myself. I like it. We all like it, brother. I went on my way, and embarrassed me. It was until last November, immediately after the Trump Ambassador Convention in Hot Springs, Arkansas, that I was ministering to the Lord's faith. In that juncture, I was ministering this bride that I saw walk down the aisle, bride that I saw picturized upon the pool, and was so carried away, apparently with love. My wife that day, our marriage was gone. We're in divorce proceedings now, and it's Thursday. If nothing happens, we'll be officially divorced by the court of the law. My wife told me the story with a broken heart and with a broken heart, our infinite upon our minds. I've taken my head quiet and afraid. God, why did it happen? This is a repetitious occurrence throughout our United. Your marriage in every four in the proportion. It's time, my friend, that marriage will be preceded by a statement of how only.
Well, I hope you hear something.
Seven, the Bible, if a man would give all the substance for love, it would unseat some patience. This simply means by love. You might buy gold, you might buy anything for the world, you might buy the best and most beautiful animal. Love! You never win love by the temperature, principle, and conviction. Thousands of unwed men survive to this truth. You don't follow the revelation of another individual by the violation of your conscience and give admission to their will. This will not stand. The Bible says that he that loveth, loveth at all times, and this love is the most great joy and joy.
Any man that's out of that picture, he'll be so powerful.
destroy. It's a cancer that grows of your life. And so even after you are in God, for your life. This is our natural power. Now, if you're ever in doubt as to what you should do, I want you to take these five lines. If you're ever in doubt as to whether something's wrong, whether something's wrong, number one, ask yourself the question, does God see His word for people? That's what it is. Don't be standing around people. Ask yourself the question, is God for us? Or is God against us? And then, it's written indelibly in God's word. There's no question about it. If God's word says, don't do it. You shouldn't even think about it a second time. Oh, brother, and it was difficult in God's scripture to say, Balaam, don't do it. That all Balaam should have needed to have heard it. But Balaam got the thinking over. Balaam said, maybe it's not so bad as I thought. I'll see if I can find another reason that will give me the authority to do what I want to do. And as a consequence, there are. He died in the field of battle, and then he feels that he died without God. Because he was told of it. He was told by God. He prohibited. He said, maybe there's another way out. I'll see if I can find the same way. If God's word prohibited, you shouldn't even have to ask your pastor. You shouldn't have to ask your pastor. If God's word says it's wrong, then without question, you should abstain. Will you say amen? The second thing that I want you to think about is this. Will it violate my conscience? Now, the conscience that I am if it will violate your own conscience, then for God's sake, don't do it. For you've got to live. Amen. You've got to live with it. And because you have to live with yourself, you must not violate your conscience. Can you maintain peace of mind and do it? Thomas committed an act of sin. In the eyes of God, he committed the dual sin of murder and adultery. And the Bible says in the 51st division of Psalms that he cried out to God, my sin is ever before me. He violated his own conscience, and he paid for it day after day after day. Number three, am I willing to violate the conscience of another? Ask yourself this question if there's a doubt. Am I willing to violate the conscience of another individual? It may leave the lasting effect upon another soul. The tragedy which will evolve will leave the blood of another person's soul upon your hand. Hallelujah. God forbid that we take liberty which will encourage and incite another individual to violate their conscience before God. If it's so done at the day of judgment, we will have the blood of another soul upon our hands. We intend that day to give us a conscience. Number four, you should always be mindful of how what you do will reflect upon your church. We've got to drive this home. I don't know how to do it, or I will. If you must, let it dirty your feet morally. For God's sake, don't leave your muddy footprints on the carpet of this church. Church, I suppose, is that the son of its greatest result, not from its family. He said that word of privilege, the end of the church. But not thinking how over the church, my church, they committed acts of sin with sorrow reproach, degradation upon the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as I'm concerned, it's sitting upon the cross. It's writing nasty words with the blood of Jesus Christ. Will you bring your attempt to sin, such sins that will bring a reproach upon the cross and the Lord Jesus? In the fifth place, will it kill my Christian influence? Will my character be so marred that eternity alone cannot erase them in me? That moment will you say, Brother Brock, I can sin and I can always come back and say, God forgive me, and God will forgive me, but you can't always erase that gnawing something in the back of your mind that says, Esau came back. And the Bible says he wept bitterly with tears, but he found no place of repentance, so he wept and he cried. He wept and he cried. He had violated the principle that haunted him to the day that he died. Will you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Lot escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah with his life and with his soul. But he long since sacrificed his influence. He said, Brother Brock, I'm going to leave here when the trumpet of the Lord sounds. When I leave here, I'm going to leave here with a shout. I'm going home. I'm just going to barely make it in. Maybe some people that make it with just a life and just a soul, but I dare say the number will be few. You prostrate that your influence. You lost one of the greatest times individual come to start. Number six, and with this I will move on quickly. Will it honor or will it disgrace my mother and my father? There may be a lot of people in this world. There may be a young man, young lady, that has absolutely, with all diligence and tenacity, that young man has stopped your hand in marriage. The same may have been true as far as a young lady desiring the hand in marriage of her boyfriend in peace. But there's no person in this world that loves you and cares more for you than does your mother and your father, and don't you ever forget. When there is a question in your mind, should I do it or should I not do it, ask yourself the question, will this honor or will this dishonor my mother and my father? If there, in any sense of the word, would bring any dishonor and any heartbreak and any shame upon mom and dad, for God's sake, don't do it until they're dead and until they're born. Got a letter from a heartbroken mom and dad just the other day. Letter fell to my desk, and a mom said to me, "Brother Brock, our son has been raised in church and Sunday school and Assemblies of God church and Sunday school all of his life. Brother Brock, the last Saturday night he came staggering in, dog drunk. He staggered in the front door. We heard him hit the door and he fell out. And Brother Brock, we had to pick him up in all of his inebriated condition, carry him to his bed, put him to bed. Brother Brock, he doesn't care. We're heartbroken. Brother Brock, will you pray?" And there are a lot of things in this life that some people may not like, but there's one thing before God, as far as I'm concerned, as long as I can do anything that will not break my mother and dad's heart, and at the same time stay true to God, I refuse to this day to do anything that will bring dishonor or any grief upon my mom and dad. Hallelujah. I'd almost take my head in the fire before I willfully bring dishonor and bring any grief upon mom and dad. Young man and young lady, fall in love with your mother and dad again. Fall in love with the man and the woman that loves you with all of their life, all of their soul. Fall once more in love with them and don't do anything that will hurt or bring disgrace upon them. Hallelujah. You say, "Brother Brock, what's the difference? My friend, I wouldn't think about saving a young lady that would do this to her mom and dad." Do you hear what I'm saying? If a young lady will do this spot to her mom and dad, you won't be married 6 weeks until you'll be dirt under her feet, if her mom and dad dirt under their feet.
That's good.
I wouldn't marry, if I was a young lady, I would not marry a young man that would talk despitefully about his mother and father and call him the old man and the old woman and call him every other name under the sun. I wouldn't have that man. He will not honor his mother and father 3 weeks after you've been married. He'll be trampling upon your heart. He'll be stomping your affections and despising your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, "Preacher, I don't know about preaching like this. I'm sticking my neck out. But I want you to know, young friend, this business of courtship and marriage is something that you need to consider in the face of God. For the Bible says that marriage is not a trial and effort experience. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 8 tells me that marriage is a lifetime contract."
Amen.
Yeah. Will you say amen?
Yeah.
I want you also to know that marriage is not only a legal institution. Marriage is a sacred union by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says that God joined together. And whosoever God has joined, let no man put it to. Marriage is also to be, and I tread dangerous waters again, in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, not only a lifetime contract, not only a sacred union, but marriage is to be on a basis of equally yoked. The Bible emphatically says, light hath no fellowship with darkness. Be not unequally yoked.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would you mind if I said something, brethren? I do not remember before I met ever hearing a sermon preached on courtship and marriage. I do not in my life ever remember anyone standing and preaching a sermon of any consequence at all. This is no reflection upon the ministry of the past. I never remember a man preaching to any extent to you on the dangers of being unequally yoked with the unbelief. Do you believe it's God's word?
Amen.
God says, be not unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. You say, Brother Brock, what's the reason? There are three reasons. First of all, there will soon be a lack of fellowship between the two people. Come on now, you might as well say, man, you're not kidding me. It won't be too long until the kisses won't cover all the ears. The handshakes when you come in the door will turn to frowns.
I just saw a song for speaking this, I'd be scared to death.
Be a lack of fellowship. Is this never so more classically exemplified than in the life of Vashti in the Old Testament? She was a queen, she had everything that a woman could want, but she was unequally yoked with a man who would soon attend a drunkard's ball as to eat. One day they got drunk and were cooping it up, and the king said, I want to call the queen in, get her to put on her best attire, get her to come gracefully walking in among these goggle-eyed drunk men, and let her come in. And he sent word to the queen, and the queen sent word back, and she said, I will not come.
Thank God.
That's wrong. Thank
God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel pretty good.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
I will not go to a drunkard's party and express myself in the beauty of my femininity before those goggling eyes of drunkards, and immediately fellowship within that home was impaired, and the friends of her husband said in Arkansas language, I wouldn't have a wife if she wouldn't go to a drunkard's party. I'd get rid of her. Come on now, say amen. This is in the book. And that man said, I believe you're right. We're not getting along too well anyway. We've lost fellowship. She won't go where I want to go. And the Bible says he gave her walking. I see that beautiful lady. She walked out of a palace door, and all of a sudden a veil of obscurity falls upon her, and a lonely soul walks into a cruel, hard-hearted world. All because unequally yoked led a young lady to have to say, I will not.
Amen.
Come on now, say amen.
Amen.
It will also lead you to a lack of unity. Your companion will eventually lack this everything that's sacred and holy. I rejoice. I want to shout, brother. Not as I use a little other phrase from you to justify to me. is a lovely young lady that Brother Burr and Sister Burr and I know quite well. She's a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost-filled young lady that loves the Lord with all of her heart. And a very prominent young man proposed to her and said, in substance, I want to marry you. And they were sort of weighing things, she was, and they went to an Assemblies of God revival where evangelist Jimmy Snow was preaching. And after the service that night, they started driving home, and the boys started talking about Jimmy Snow and about his ministry and about everything that was sacred to her. And that young girl decided on the way home, this will never work out. If he calls things stupidity, if he calls things ignorance, that means everything to me. It's all over. I won't marry you.
Right.
Regardless of how prominent that you are.
Amen.
Regardless of the money that you've got.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. That young lady found out in time.
Amen.
But David didn't find out until after he married the old gal. And after he had married her, he had been looking forward to the moment when the Ark of the Covenant would be brought back to its proper place, and Brother Hill standing out in the middle of the road when the Ark came traveling down the road. And the Bible says that when he saw the Ark, that David began to dance before the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible said his wife was watching. And the greatest day in David's life was turned to a literal hell on earth. Come on now, say amen. When he walked inside the door, his wife didn't say, bless God, aren't you glad the ark? Come on, honey, I'm sick of her seeing you shouting out in the middle of the street. She looked at him when he opened the door and said, you fool! You've made a fool of yourself before your friends in this country. You're a foolish man. And all of a sudden, she would have been better if she'd have had her tongue cut out and never said another word, because a bruise was made upon her heart that could never be repaired and broken again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know, this may be too plain. But there are some hurts that you can get in the heart that three kisses and a handshake won't cover up.
Amen.
Will you say amen?
Amen.
Before you marry, you might have a package of Fritos, a big Pepsi Cola, a hot dog with some of that corn bread wrapped on the top of it and sold in a scalding pan of boiling grease. Put a little mustard and onions with it, and have a piece of pie a la mode after it's all over and it's back up in the clouds. But marriage only sticks, not with hot dogs, Pepsi Cola, dill pickles, and fruit.
Amen.
But marriage sticks because two people have been cemented Amen. Together by love.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Been married 10 years now. I'm more in love tonight than I was 10 years ago. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I wish I had about another hour to preach to you. But you've been so sweet to me, I'm going to cut this business off here right now in just a minute. You see, if you allow the powers of anything less than love to get a hold of your life, it'll cultivate every sin under the sun. And it'll lead your soul to degradation.
Amen. Amen.
David wasn't a window peeper, but David had roving eyes. You might as well say amen.
Amen.
If he'd have been a window peeper, they could have killed him. But here's a man that had roving eyes until the wrong thoughts entered into his mind, and a thought becomes an act. And an act becomes a violation before God. And David is a sinful man of murder and adultery.
Right.
And it all started when David's eyes got to roving and thoughts entered into his mind that should have never been there. It started then. And it ruined.
That's right.
Young people,
you know that I love you. You know that my life in this moment is literally wrapped up in you. I have not spent days and days away from what, regardless of what you think about me or regardless of what anybody else thinks. I've not spent days and days away from my family and two children that cannot understand why daddy isn't home like most of the daddies on the block, because I don't like to be with my family, but because in my heart there's something that's welling up to say, God, help us to reach them. Predecessors like Merle J. Harris, predecessors like E. Joe Wilman, predecessors like Edwin Burris, predecessors like my other friends in the past that have labored with youth have felt that burden. But these are the last days. We must reach the youth with the message of God. We've got to do it.
Amen.
We can't afford to
fail.
The most magnetic force on the face of God's earth, you might as well say amen when I say it, is the magnetic force of a young man was attracted by a lovely young lady.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. You know how I know it's good? Because God looked down and there was a world and a man that was alone. God looked at it and he sized up the situation and he seemed to think it wasn't any good that way. And so he made a woman, and when man met, when boy met girl, courtship and marriage evolved, God looked at it and God said, it's good and I believe it. Amen. God said it's good. Everybody believes it's good, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good. And I'm trying to get across to you in these last moments that unless you learn how to live, this magnetic force can destroy you.
Yeah.
How many of you believe that really from your heart? You can say, Brother Brock, don't lift your hand and say amen. But really from your heart, do you believe it? The wisest man that's ever lived fell. Not because he was trapped by alcohol, not because he was trapped by anything less than the power of a magnetic woman pulled him away from God. And many commentaries say that he might have even died without God because of a magnetic force that the opposite sex has for an individual. And I again repeat, this is not a baser thing. This is of the highest sort. It's God ordained. The strongest man that ever lived, a man that could walk up to the gates of a city and carry him off on his shoulder, fell not from 50 Philistines. He cleaned their plow. He fell from a cute little thing that had him eating out of the palms of her hand. Come on now, say amen. Mister, when they was holding hands, they wasn't cleaning each other's fingernails. She had a cold, calculated plan to destroy him.
Amen.
You might as well say amen, because it's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Someone said, we'll pay you and pay you well if you'll ruin him, and through a little naive courtship.
Right.
Samson fell from the pinnacle of a hero and a superman to a man with his eyeballs gouged out and with stooped shoulders, mocked by a multitude. It started with a simple little courtship. It got out of control and he lost everything, even
amen.
To his
amen.
Life.
Amen. Amen. Listen to it.
Amen.
That's
kind of a couple for the
Lord.
Will you look right at me as I close?
Jesus.
I'm not going to preach that on that.
Jesus.
I'm not going to tell
you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What's your life?
dates. Dates become mates. Mates will bring heaven or hell on earth. James, I believe this time. I want you to listen to me more. In the depth of my heart, I believe in your soul. Father, from another city called his daughter one afternoon, just to have to get home. Phone was an answer, he tried again and again, more answer, and he goes to the nearby city. Knocked on the door and answered. Got a key and he opened up the door and he opened up the door. Father, take this man, I'll see if he there on the wall was a silhouetted figure. A beautiful young lady hanging by her neck. Father, thank this head, no doubt, the shame and sickness fell into his wife. All through that Friday night, month ago, 2 months ago, somebody said to this day, have a drink, and she said, well, no. Come on, he said, let's live it out. Finally, she said, well, here, baby. If they were left, young people couldn't come. You're not used to it, it can have you left before you know what's going on. Amen. She took a drink, maybe 2 steps, and all of a sudden, it began to happen. She began to lose her equilibrium. She began to lose her sense of direction. Very hard to a courtship from a courtship into a net. Party and from a necking party to a local one. Parted on the day. Girl that won the day. And I think that young lady's hung herself on the rack in a local name.